You're listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, episode 56, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, or Santa Hates Misfits.
Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, Don Bluth, and everything in between. I'm your host, Morgan Stradling, here with my amazing, incredible co-hosts, Chelsea Robson and Mason Smith.
I want to be a dentist.
Ready, Santa!
Ready, Santa.
He sounds like... That line just sounds like Harry Potter 1, where Harry Potter's very like, checkmate. Don't forget, we're still playing. I was like, learn your lines a little better, Ratcliffe. But anyway.
So for those of you who are new to the show, we are the Animation Addicts Podcast. We are a show that covers animated films of past and present. And today we are going way back into the past, 1964, and we are talking about the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer Christmas Special by Rankin Bass. It's going to be a good time, a jolly, holly jolly Christmas.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Basically. I agree.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends, so for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and when you walk down the
Let's
street,
go on to our special segment. So kind of to break the ice, we decided that we are going to talk about our favorite animated Christmas specials. And right now on the website, we are doing the Animation 12 Days of Christmas. So each day is kind of like our Frozember, but little mini version. The last 12 days before Christmas, we are putting a new article on the site that's just sort of a review of an old animated Christmas special or Christmas movie, or maybe your thoughts on it. For example, Blake, one of our writers, he did one which was called Why Everyone in Rudolph Needs to Take a Chill Pill. And he breaks down each character and talks about how, like, rude they are and over the top. And it's perfect, because as I was watching this movie to prepare, I'm like, oh my gosh, he's so right. Everyone is so uptight. So definitely check out therotoscopers.com/12daysofchristmas, and you'll find all those articles there. So let's open up to you guys, Chelsea and Mason. What are your favorite animation Christmas specials?
Well, let's see. Well, actually, Rudolph itself is part of our Christmas celebration spread. So, well, there's live action films that we always have to watch, like Elf and Home Alone. Although Home Alone is like barely a Christmas movie, you know. But we'll do Rudolph if we catch it on TV. I think Frosty is almost always after Rudolph, so we'll tolerate that and we'll watch that. And let's see what else. Oh, Charlie Brown Christmas is super essential. We usually have to like protest in front of the cable company just to get them to put it on air, but I think they've caught the hint by now over the years, and now they just play it. So we watch that. How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the animated one, is also a standard for our family.
Ah, yes.
And then I catch the Garfield Christmas special whenever it's on.
My favorite, aside from all those that you just watched, we always watched A Year Without a Santa Claus, also by Rankin Bass. Have you guys ever seen that one?
I have. Only so a few good. Times.
I just, for whatever reason, I have no idea why, but it's like, with this was a year without a Santa Claus. It's always in my head and I always need to watch it every year.
Man, I think obviously Charlie Brown Christmas, Rudolph and Frosty are kind of the staple top three ones that are shown every year. Probably everyone has them in their family's favorite movies to watch. We owned Rudolph and Frosty on VHS. So I definitely watched those quite a few times. Frosty, just the very first thing he says when he puts his hat on his head, "Happy birthday!" It's kind of like Gus from Cinderella. I'm trying to think of other animated ones. I've seen majority of the Rankin-Bass ones, but I wouldn't say those are like ones that I would watch every single year. They have a little drummer boy, which is pretty nice. But definitely another one which we owned on VHS was Mickey's Christmas Carol.
Oh, yes.
So I loved that movie. And I don't remember if we had like a real version or like a taped over version. Whatever it was awesome. There's actually a lot of cameos from different Disney characters in this. So, for example, there's the Willie the Giant from Mickey and the Beanstalk, Pete and Goofy. And so they all kind of play these different roles. So it's fun to see your favorite Disney characters and figure out, oh, well, what character would they play in the Christmas Carol story? So that's definitely one of my favorite ones. And, you know, of course, good old Scrooge McDuck is what's that guy's
name? Is Scrooge.
Scrooge.
Is Ebenezer Scrooge.
So that's definitely a classic. That's probably one of my favorites.
No, I forget about Mickey's Christmas Carol. See, there's this ongoing debate on whether puppet motion is animation or not. I'm going to say it is. But we've been watching Muppet Christmas Carol the past couple of years. We really like that one because we love Muppets. And that one's kind of cool, too, because the whole Muppet like ensemble shows up for that show. You got like Sir Michael Caine as Ebenezer Scrooge. He does a fantastic job. And I really like that one. I definitely watch it more than Mickey's Christmas Carol, but I do like that one too.
Now that I'm remembering, I really did always watch Mickey's Christmas Carol because I had that one on VHS. And of like a bunch of those new ones that just got put on Netflix, I had, and I was watching them the other day. I'm like, oh my gosh, I totally remember this one, like Prince and the Pauper and things like that. So all of those for me were very essential to my holiday lineup.
Yeah, it's like a recipe that you need, like a sequence that you need in order in the proper place, and then it's Christmas, you know, and
exactly.
Now we're having a great time for Christmas. otherwise something is just like, we're just like sitting around looking at each other and this is awkward, you know. It might be Christmas Carol, okay. You
back
know?
When they used to stare at each other all day. Got very boring.
Got very boring. Yeah, there's just something about a good old Christmas special.
Somehow, animation became something that they did for Christmas specials. So everyone has a Christmas special nowadays, but particularly claymation and stop motion animation has become synonymous with these Christmas specials, which is really
interesting. Yeah, there were so many.
Well, for example, there's some new Honda commercials, and I've seen quite a few commercials that maybe will hire a stop motion studio so they can get the look of, you know, Rudolph or some of these Rankin-Bass, and for their holiday specials, for their holiday commercials, they'll have these stop motion commercials. They're trying to play off that nostalgia of what these films have done.
Yeah. Is there a recent Christmas special in, like, the last, let's say, 10 years that y'all like to watch that's animated? I can't think of any.
Yeah, they kind of trailed off there for a while.
Yeah, when Madagascar came out, we would watch the Penguins Christmas Caper every once in a while. Because I like those penguins.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen any recent ones that at least stand out on top of mind.
There's Shrek the Halls over with DreamWorks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they did a Kung Fu Panda Christmas special, did they? Or would you call Belle's Enchanted Christmas a Christmas special?
Yeah.
But it's not within the past 10 years.
Right.
Yeah, definitely not.
Speaking of Christmas specials, Chelsea, so I got an email from someone and it says, I was wondering if you could do an episode on the He-Man / She-Ra Christmas special. It's a lot of fun and very cheesy.
Yes!
So, Chelsea, I don't think we're going to do a full episode right now because we've already chosen Rudolph. But Chelsea, I'm sure you've seen this and I want you to give a little mini review.
Chelsea, I didn't know you were a He-Man She thing. What's her name?
She-Ra.
Okay, sorry. I didn't know you were a He-Man Shakira fan.
I do enjoy She-Ra and Shakira, yes.
Well, all right.
Actually, okay. Honestly, I haven't been able to see the Christmas special, but I have watched every other He-Man special, including commentary.
What kind of He-Man fan are you? I've seen them all, but the one you're talking about right now.
I know.
How much commentary can you make about He-Man?
No, there's a fantastic, like, Morgan got me a set of DVDs for Christmas one year of all the He-Mans, because for whatever reason growing up, I just really loved that show. Like, I have three older brothers, and so they would always watch it, and I just enjoyed it. And so she got it for me, and they've got commentary, they've got, like, extended scenes, and, like, a whole bunch of fun stuff on there. And I was just like, oh, this is amazing. But it's got to be on Netflix or something, I'm sure. So I need to repent and actually watch that. I love
you,
it.
You go and watch that He-Man special.
We're a couple of misfits. We're a couple of misfits. What's the matter with misfits?
Okay, so for our main discussion, we are talking about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. He had a very shiny nose. Back in 1964, a little studio called Rankin Bass, they produced a Christmas special, which was stop motion, and it has been a Christmas sensation ever since. It has always, every year since 1964, this movie is actually aired on TV, making it the longest running Christmas special of all time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Impressive.
So Rankin Bass, they went on to make the special, and it was actually kind of it was like a TV special, but also kind of like a big commercial for General Electric, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The original cuts of the special include a lot of like tie-ins of General Electric products. So the animated elves would be like introducing like GE small appliances.
Yeah, when you would cut to a commercial break, traditionally, they just, instead of, you know, cutting to a random commercial, they just, in that place, had commercials that included the elves. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was kind of like a deal for General Electric for a while, but then in the later cuts, it's like totally cut out and you can't even tell, which is good. But yeah, like that's kind of the background on it. And then it aired on CBS.
So it aired Sunday, December 6th, 1964. So we are almost on the 50th anniversary of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. So if you're listening to this in 2014, it is the 50th anniversary. But that's crazy. This is nearly 50 years old.
Happy birthday to you.
And still timeless, in my opinion.
Totally.
Yeah, no kidding. This is one of those shows that never becomes irrelevant.
Yeah, even though the animation is very primitive in a way, the stop motion isn't the cleanest or the best. The story and the characters and the music, they're timeless. Mm-hmm. And you see past maybe some of its imperfections because it gives it so much charm.
Mm-hmm.
The canon of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer starts back all the way back to Robert L. May, and he was the creator of Rudolph in 1939. It was an assignment from Montgomery Ward. The retailer wanted to create a series of coloring books for Christmas, and they decided that they wanted to create their own story in order to save money doing it. And so they commissioned him to, you know, create something. And so he created Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. It started out, actually, he didn't know what he was going to name it. So he started out, there was Rollo and Reginald. And those
Rollo?
Were, right. Those were all possible names until he finally decided on Rudolph, which, honestly, much better than Rollo.
I'll agree there. Rollo the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Doo!
Yeah. Hey, Rudolph only lives once.
Right. So in its first year of publication, over 2.5 million copies of Rudolph's story were sold. It was actually written to the meter of 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. So years later, Johnny Marks, his brother-in-law adapted that story into a song, which Gene Autry then later recorded, and it hit number one on the Billboard charts in 1949, and it sold over 2.5 million copies that first year, and eventually sold about 25 million copies up until like the 80s or so. And up until the 80s, it was the best-selling record of all time. Here's the really cool part about this whole story. Arthur Rankin of Rankin and Bass was actually neighbors with Johnny Marks. And years after it became this huge hit, Arthur Rankin came up to Johnny and was like, hey, can we do a story about this together? And that's how this whole thing got started. And at that point in time, they had Johnny Marks become the composer, and we'll talk a little bit more about him later. But that's the story of how this whole thing became a movie.
Well, well, well. Who knew? That's a small world, right?
Yeah. Just a comment on the song there. I would love to have lived in a time when the top Billboard chart song was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Well, the best part about it is Johnny Marks, who is the composer of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, he's an American songwriter. He was also Jewish.
Oh, sweet.
But the thing is, like, he specialized in writing Christmas songs, which I just find very bizarre. But he wrote The Most Wonderful Day of the Year, Jingle, 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 A Holly Jolly Christmas, Silver and Gold, When Santa Claus Gets Your Letter, A Merry, Merry Christmas, The Night Before Christmas Song, Everyone's Child at Christmas, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, and I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. But, like, those are...
He didn't. Did he do I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day?
Yeah.
I thought that was an old, like, British hymn.
I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day is a Christmas carol based on the 1863 poem Christmas Bells by American poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow.
Then what's the song that we sing at church?
That is it. That's the song. Or no, he set the poem to music. There we go.
Okay, so A Holly Jolly Christmas, was that invented in the Rudolph Christmas special?
Mm-hmm.
So that's like a big deal. That's one they sing all the time.
Yeah.
Silver and Gold I hear every once in a while on the old Christmas radio station. It's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
How do you measure its worth? Burl Ives, man. What a snowman.
What a snowman. I love that it looks like him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then he, like, sort of comes back in Elf. That's what I don't get. Because that's not Burl Ives, is it?
What?
No, Burl Ives died.
Right. He calls him Leon in Elf.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, they were parodying it.
Oh, man. I like Jingle, Jingle, Jingle. Jingle. I am old Kris Kringle. I'm the king of jingling. The German version, Ich bin alt Kris Kringle, you know.
Do you speak German?
What?
I know enough to say I am old. But anyway. But there's a lot of good songs. Like, we pop in the soundtrack every Christmas and we listen, like, in my family. I love We're a Couple of Misfits.
That's a good song, yeah. And then The Island of Misfit Toys is good.
Except they cut out the part where they all talk about their problems.
Yeah.
How about a boat that won't stay off of a float? Or a squirt gun that squirts jelly? Like, who thinks of these things? Who made you guys?
Yeah, that's one of the questions. Like, did Santa's elves make these and then just, like, cast them away?
I bet there were, like, Sid-like rogue elves who made faulty toys, you know? Hannah's all, Janie's all better now.
It's the elves that got experimental and then got fired.
Now, here's the big...
This is why everybody's so uptight. Don't go experiment now.
You stick to the blueprints and that's it.
Well, yeah. Okay, I was going to mention this when we got to that part, but I'm like, for the most part, I see nothing wrong with these toys. These toys are just quirky and fun.
The girl? The doll? What's wrong with her?
Supposedly, the only thing that's wrong with the doll is that she's emotionally unstable.
Meaning she's a communist, and that's where they put her on the island. That's the message that they're trying to say.
She suffers from psychological problems because she feels unloved, and therefore she's a misfit.
Oh, therefore you belong in an asylum if you feel that way. Way to go, Santa.
Oh, man.
I have a lot of problems with Santa Claus in this movie. I'm not going
to
lie.
Well, let's jump into it.
Okay, no, well, totally. If you really want to open this box about the Island of Misfit Toys, okay, well, let's start at the first part of the movie, okay? First of all, Donner has a royal freak out because his son has a birth defect, basically. Like, I don't want to get on my, like, social soapbox here, but, like, Donner needs
Please
to, like...
Please get on it.
Okay, I'm going to get it. Hold on. Okay. People of Earth. First of all, Donner, like, flips his shiz because his son has a red nose. Like, he doesn't think of the technological wonder that his son is. Of all the mutations in the gene pool that could have trickled down, his son has a red nose that serves as a power source. And the fact that they didn't capitalize on this, General Electric, that's ironic. it's shameful. First, Donner's such a jerk to his own son. He needs to be put down like the dog he is, in my opinion. Like, really. I'm just kidding.
You're saying anyway, reindeer can't change?
Okay, here's the deal. Okay, Donner does come to accept his son, but only after he gets, like, his major promotion in the ranks of reindeer. And then Santa comes barging in. Well, Donner, show me your awesome son. You know, very, very Spartan. I'm just going to inspect your baby, you know, just born.
No, he was just going to give some well wishes.
Okay, okay. I'm going to make Morgan cry.
No.
But anyway, Santa comes up and he sees Rudolph. And instead of thinking of the genetic marvel that Rudolph is, he's like, no, Donner, this will not do. He's like, fix this, Donner.
Send it back.
Donner's like, I can't take him back to the baby reindeer store. That's not how this works, Santa.
Well, actually, you know? Apparently in one of the original versions, Rudolph was delivered in by stork. You know,
a stork? Wow,
yeah.
That's old. You know, that stork sure brings out a lot of defective, you know, infant animals like Dumbo, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's like a liability issue there for the stork transportation company. Something is going on in the transfer of infant from place where infants come from to place where infants go to, you know?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Am I getting too irreverent about all this?
Oh, but no.
Okay. So that's my problem with Santa, because he's just like, you know, I run a tight ship, you know? It's like, I don't know, it reminds me of other people who are like, if you don't physically look like the rest of us, you're an outcast.
No, here's the thing.
And that's as far as I'll go with Santa.
No, here's the thing. My commentary on Santa is, I mean, think about it. The entire social economic structure of this town is based on one man. He is the dictator of Christmas Town. And everyone must conform to his thing. He's a communist.
Yeah.
Why is he wearing red all the time?
Right. That's the conspiracy theory, right? But you know who controls Santa is Mrs. Claus. Eat, Papa, eat. Wait, Russian accent. Bingo, right there, Chelsea.
It's true! This whole time, I knew it!
Now, you gotta cut Mrs. Claus some slack here, but Santa's kind of a chump in this one.
Yeah, he's not very jolly.
Okay, this is the businessman, Santa. This is the CEO.
Totally.
Like he needs a streamlined business model. And production model. He cannot have elves just going off with these weird aspirations of becoming dentists. You know, he cannot have defects in his transportation. You know,
he can't even have a bad sounding choir.
It's true.
He really can't.
Communist.
I don't know. There's different arguments, but his wife definitely there's something there.
You know, I love that Santa's like a complete sham. You know, we have, well, because we have this idea in our heads that he's just fat and jolly, and turns out he's actually like really like skinny and pretty in shape.
Who ever
and healthy.
Heard of a skinny Santa?
And so he's like skinny, living the life the whole, you know, half the year, and then, you know, 2 months before he has to plump up.
Kind of a sham. I hope we don't get a lot of hate mail from this. I mean, we just want people to know that this is really lighthearted and we're not like really.
Like Mason was saying, there over the years, there's been a number of changes made to Rudolph. So originally in 1964, it just ended after Rudolph sort of saved the day and, you know, flew away. There was no resolution about the Island of Misfit Toys. So, like, nothing ever happened to them. Which is hilarious.
That is the most controversial part of this film. Let me just say that.
It's hilarious because, you know, they go and they spend a lot of time on the Island of Misfit Toys. And then Rudolph says, "Oh yeah, yeah, we'll save you. Santa will help." And then he goes away, and then the story never revisits it. So apparently the creators got a lot of mail from children who were pretty upset. They wondered, like, what happened to the toys? And so the next year they kind of added a new scene, and which is the scene that most people are used to. And that includes this ending where they go and they pick up the toys and save them, and then they drop them off and give them new homes.
All right.
So, yeah, I would love to see that original cut and just to see how abrupt it is. It's like, oh, well, okay. Rudolph totally used you.
Moonracer's like, I know. Moonracer's like, curse you, Claws! It sparks the sequel when Moonracer actually declares war on the North Pole and sends his mutant toys, I mean misfit toys, sorry, you know, to do his bidding. It's a big social commentary on war and why, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I don't know if I would have gone for that. I like that they wrap up the misfit toys thing.
Mm-hmm. So in this newer version, they added a new duet, which was called Fame and Fortune. And they kind of replaced that with We're a Couple of Misfits, which is sad because I love that. I love We're a Couple of Misfits personally.
They really cut that part out?
Yeah, it says...
Not in the cut that you have on DVD, most
right.
likely.
Yeah. No.
This was when they televised it. They had to cut different things because they added that, so they had to cut it for time. If you have like the newer DVD, you can see Fame and Fortune on there. Then later, another... Basically, they've made all sorts of changes over the years. There's also
this deal where Yukon Cornelius finds a peppermint mine.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's on the version that I watched today.
Yeah, that's on that version.
So initially, for some of them, they cut out. He's always like sniffing around and licking things, and then they cut out the scene where he's actually.
Well, don't say it like that.
He is.
No, he doesn't. He takes the pickaxe and he throws it up in the air, and then he licks it, and then he's like, nothing, you know? So he's just trying to find silver and gold by taste, like, not by, because he knows the taste. He's not just, that Yukon Cornelius goes around sniffing and licking things.
Okay, whatever.
He's more of an animal than I am.
More animal than his dogs. Okay, so, correct. We think in some of these cuts that he's just sniffing and licking it for the taste of silver and gold, but in the scene that was cut out at the very end, he actually has been searching for this lost peppermint mine. And so that's why he keeps licking it. And so then we're kind of filled in as the audience and that's what that weird stuff was all about. But yeah.
Yeah, out of all the weird people, I think Yukon Cornelius is the weirdest.
Oh.
I think we can all agree that there's some funny stuff going on around here at the North Pole. You know, Santa is not really fat until like the last 5 minutes before he gets on the sleigh. You know, his wife seems to be running the whole show. There's strange labor relations going on.
Can I talk about the Christmas tree forest at the very beginning? I think it's charming. It's just so simple, and the trees are made out of felt. And I love that the trees are all completely decorated already with silver and gold and tinsel and Christmas ornaments.
Well, the forest critters do that.
I know. I love it. I want to visit that Christmas tree forest. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I want critters to decorate my tree for me.
And can I just say, Christmas seals, hello.
Oh, that's adorable.
That's the most random part. Seals. He's like, here we have the Christmas trees and Christmas seals. I'm like, what? That's new. I that's not what I associate with Christmas, but rock on.
Well, I love how this was kind of like not far into the whole imagination and animation thing, you know, and Burl Ives becomes this, you know, he's Sam the Snowman, I think he's called, you know, and he's like, well, I bet you've never seen a talking snowman before. You know, it's like, okay, so sometime in 1964, there were kids that were just like having their minds blown by this talking snowman in front of them. You know, nowadays it's just like, yeah, you know.
Par for the course.
You know, we have... Yeah, you know, we have The Hobbit, you know, and all those amazing special effects and stuff. But, you know, back then it was if you could get a snowman to talk to little kids, that was like the biggest deal.
Okay, so then we go into the storyline of Herbie, and I think Herbie's so cute. Notice he's the only elf, like the young elf with hair and any sort of like distinguishing like personality
like
and look.
Features, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I love his little blonde swoopy hairstyle. I think he's just adorable.
Very, very Kristoff.
Yes, yes.
That, he's like disillusioned. It's like a classic, like, what if kind of premise for animation, like disillusioned, like, guy who's supposed to do one thing and he wants to do another thing. So he goes off and follows his dreams, you know?
Yeah. Like, not happy in my work, I guess. Like, completely honest.
Yeah.
So after this, we go back to Rudolph, and Rudolph's dad is trying to put that nose on him. And he's like, it's not comfortable. He's like, there are more important things than comfort.
I don't wanna.
Self-respect.
I don't wanna. You'll wear it and like it. Donner's pretty hard on him, you know. But at least he's like, hey, we can solve this problem, you know, and we can make this work. Now go out there and play with the other kids, you know. And he's like, my name's Fireball. He like meets Fireball, and I'm like, oh, did your cousin Nimbus 2000 not make it? I was like, what kind of name is Fireball? Anyway,
well, don't you think he's like the son of Comet, maybe?
The son of Comet.
Oh.
Fireball. Oh yeah, that might work. You know, they don't get into the... Why Donner? Why is Donner Rudolph's father?
Why not?
What about Blitzen? Blitzen's too into football. let's see. And his wife is just kind of like... Well, his wife's okay.
She's nice. She's like your typical mom who loves her child and respects him and just wants the best and sees past any imperfections.
Who's the girl reindeer?
Clarice.
Yeah, Clarice. Hello, Clarice. You know, when the whole Rudolph thing goes down and he's lost, like, at least Donner goes out and looks for him. He's not like, well, should have listened to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he'll go join the Island of Misfit Toys. And then they want to go with him, and he's like, no, this is men's work.
Oh, I know.
I was like, you rock, Donner. I'm just kidding.
Like, what a caveman.
Very traditionalist, you know? What a caveman.
He even says it like a caveman. It's like...
No, we can... Seriously, we got a tracking device on him and we when he was born, and we can just Google it. No, this is men's work. Where's my shotgun? So anyway, has somebody seen my pickaxe?
So Cornelius, we meet him because the two misfits meet each other. Well, so the reindeer games, we didn't even really talk about that. There's Fireball, and then Rudolph meets Clarice, and he gets all excited, and oh my gosh, Rudolph is such a dork. She said,
I'm cute! I love it. She thinks I'm cute!
Okay, the voice actor for Clarice is like, she's got to be like 50 years old or something. I mean, it's just very mature sounding. And she's like, any doe would be so happy to be with you. I'm like, what?
Yeah, and he sounds like he's 12.
Yeah.
I don't know. So anyways, they go and he gets kicked out of the reindeer games for good. But she's like a sweetheart and she doesn't care. She's like...
There's always...
Yeah,
it's tomorrow. I used to have a problem with There's Always Tomorrow. You know, at first I thought it was a song about procrastination. You know? Donner's like, hey, son, I really need you to mow the lawn outside. Rudolph's like, there's always tomorrow. Oh, dang it.
I don't know. This is like kind of a love song between the two. It's, to me, it's kind of a throwaway, boring song, much like in Robin Hood, Love. It's kind of one of those songs that you fast forward when you're little. You're like, eh, yeah, right. There's always tomorrow.
You know, there's always that song, you know. Muppet Christmas Carol has When Love Is Gone. A lot of the pay-per-view versions of it that you can watch, they just cut it out, which is very merciful of them. Very nice of them.
So then the misfits say, forget it. We'll go off by ourselves where we can be accepted and loved. And then they meet up with Cornelius. Who,
oh my gosh, and all their problems start.
Oh,
all their real trouble starts now. They really should have just like put him away silently. I'm just kidding. For one, I love this guy because there's a dachshund pulling his sled.
Do you know what other dogs are pulling his sled?
Oh, I bet there's probably like a terrier or like a husky, maybe. I don't know.
There's a Cocker Spaniel, a Poodle, a St. Bernard, which is expected, a Collie, and a Dachshund.
Oh, cool.
It's like, I don't know where you got this band of misfit dogs, but...
From the Island of Misfit Dogs, of course.
Yeah, of course. Why didn't I think of that?
Yukon Cornelius has some of the best lines, and I love that they found someone to kind of foil on Herbie, you know? Boy, this fog is as thick as peanut butter.
You mean pea soup.
You eat what I like, you like, and I eat what I like.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of my favorite lines.
Yahoo!
I love when they crash on the iceberg. He's like, land ho! And Herbie's just like, no kidding.
Yeah. He's like like the outgoing eccentric friend, and Herbie is the introvert, very serious, matter of fact, no jokes.
Classic.
Becoming a dentist.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, you know, you're right. I haven't met that many goofy dentists, you know. They should do a goofy goofy how-to short on how to be a dentist.
Oh,
that would not end well. I fear the worst.
So then they reach the island of misfit toys, which, okay, when they first arrive and then they look up at the castle is so rudimentary. It's like, I know this was 1964, but it looks really pathetic, like the way it was constructed.
It kind of looks like toilet paper rolls.
Yes!
With like cylinders on top.
Yes.
Hey, I don't know.
And then this King Moonraiser, oh my gosh, what a pimp. He's a griffin, like a huge griffin with a crown, who just flies around the sky. He's awesome.
Okay, I didn't know it was Moonraiser. I thought it was Moonraiser. You know, like shave with a razor.
Well, it's Moon RAISER, so maybe just different pronunciations.
Well, hold on. I've seen on other websites where it's Racer.
Well,
like, RACER.
According to
according to IMDb.
I think you're right. I think it is Moonraiser. I think
both are made by you. Both are edited by users. So I don't.
I think I typed it in wrong.
But now everyone knows that we get our facts from IMDb and Wikipedia.
Well, no, not always. We get it from the bonus features and the books and secret stuff. But for this one, this is all we got.
That's very true. That's very true. Okay, so
Moonraiser, yes.
But Moonraiser sounds cool. I mean, that sounds like a Transformer name, you know. But Moonraiser is like, okay, so you're racing the moon. Like, depending on how close you are to Earth, that could be either really hard or really easy. But anyway,
I love how they're
Moonraiser's
like
cool. He's a king. Is he? What is he? He's not a griffin because a griffin has a bird's head.
Oh,
I think
right.
He'd be a chimera. A chimera has a snake tail, you know. Maybe he's like a self-aware chimera who's like killed off the other heads, animal heads, so he's the dominant head. Boy, that's bad A.
The only thing that I can think of when I saw him was Chronicles of Narnia.
You mean?
Well, Moonraiser has. Well, they made an entire James Bond movie out of his brother Moonraker. You know,
so he's so mean because they walk up and they're like, "We're misfits too." And he's like, "No, this is only for toys. You can stay the night and then leave." But he didn't say it that way.
I said you could stay. That does not make you my son. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So immediately we U-turn and Rudolph and gang, they go back home. This is very much like Simba in Lion King, where he runs away. He realizes that he's actually needed back at home. Comes of age, and then returns home. So I'm saying that maybe there's a little inspiration, just saying. But okay, this is what I don't get. Like, then he comes home, and there's like this, one of his teenage reindeer friends, like, has this New York accent. It's really bizarre.
Oh, yeah, that one random one.
Yeah,
like, yo, Rudolph!
Yeah.
Rudolph, do not eat the yellow snowman!
Totally.
Yeah, I forgot about that one kid. We're forgetting one very important character.
Who is?
The Abominable Snowman, who has been chasing them this whole time. Who's like as big as a mountain when they first see him.
Climbing over the mountain like that.
Am I the only person who was scared Shrekless by the Abominable Snowman? He's like, how loud he was and how like crazy he looked and how like he just wanted to eat him. What kind of monster just stalks a skin and bones reindeer, a tiny elf, and, well, Cornelius probably has some meat on him. What a monster. And then even Sam the Snowman is like, ooh, I can't even watch, and I'm the narrator. But I forgot about, like, kind of the pseudo climax of the film. Before they even get back to the North Pole, they have this, like, big thing, you know, And then Yukon Cornelius just like goes Hulk on the Abominable Snowman and just like pushes him off a mountain, you know. I just think there's something that needs to be said about the Abominable Snowman. Herbie should be a dentist. Like, he took those teeth out like almost too quick. It was almost sinister how he did it. And then I just like the he has to act like a pig. Oink, 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 oink.
Like, put your soul into it.
I was about to say that. Don't get some feelings. Some feelings.
Best pig impression in a movie ever.
Goes to Herbie.
So, very quickly, this resolves, and everyone sort of forgives each other.
Forgives Rudolph for running off.
Yeah, and they realize, oh, your nose is actually really helpful. We like you now. It's cool. We're all over it. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, his dad's cool, and Santa's cool again, and it's just really bizarre how it just, like, quickly wraps up after this 180.
Well, there's no real antagonist in this film besides Bumble. But then he comes back, and even he has a purpose.
Yeah, so he comes back, and basically his only purpose is he wants to help out, and they're, looky what he can do, and he puts the star up at the very top, and it's just like, all right, well, we're done with your needs, so see you next year.
Yeah, Santa's like, as soon as he steps out of the city limits, I'm going to put that thing down. Grab my blunderbuss and just put that thing down. He has killed too many of my reindeer.
Rudolph Uncut.
Uncut, directed by Quentin Tarantino.
I like the part right before right after Bumble falls to his seemingly imminent death. Like, everyone's all sad, but then Aurora Ives comes in and says, but they knew the most important thing was to get the women back to the Christmas town.
I'm like, yep. Shoot, we ought to get these women folk out of this danger zone.
Awesome.
Yeah, so, I mean, very old-fashioned, this movie, but, I mean, you gotta love it for that. You know, Santa's just, like, cool about this, and he's like, well, solves all my problems, I'm gonna hop on that sleigh. You know, I got more Coca-Cola to sell. What else happens? Oh, yeah, the Misfit toys get...
redemption.
They're redeemed.
So, which of the Misfit toys would you want?
Oh, dude.
Charlie in the Box, duh.
No one wants a Charlie in the Box!
I want the cowboy on the ostrich. That's awesome. You get two toys.
You're so economical.
Double prizes!
I'm like, what's the way I can maximize my happiness and dollar value?
Way to go, business major. Well, a boat that stays afloat is no good to me. I like the elephant with the polka dots. Unless the polka dots are indicative of the plague. Or like, you know, or some sort of venereal disease, in which case I would stay away from the elephant.
Yeah.
But the elephant's pretty cute. Or I would take the doll in, you know?
She still has a lot of emotional baggage. She may be complaining too much.
When Rachel's like, dude, you do not want her. Like the person who owned her before still has, like, scars and stuff. And I'm just kidding.
Aww.
I wonder if the whole Chucky thing kind of stemmed off from this one little doll, you know, off in the Ion Misfit toys. Whatever happened to the girl that they gave her to? Ooh. But anyway, but yeah, so the Misfit toys. So what does King Moonraiser do?
Well, now he has no one to be his, you know, to rule what? Over.
No Misfit toys for King Moonraiser.
Yeah, but maybe that's his job. Because that's what he does at night. He flies over the world and he collects those toys. So he just needs to create a new stockpile, just like Santa needs to create a new batch of toys. And then at the end of the year, you know, Rudolph and gang will pick him up and drop him off. It's a good system.
It is a good system. Outsourcing the problem, right?
Yeah.
It's like Goodwill.
Basically. So, one of our writers, Eric, he asked if this movie was pro-bullying.
Pro-bullying? Yes? What's your point? I'm just kidding.
Well, yes, there is bullying in it, but I don't think this movie promotes bullying in any way. If anything, it's a movie against bullying. I mean, there's no retribution for the bullies. Nothing happens to them. Even Rudolph's dad and Santa, who are the bullies. I wouldn't say it's pro-bully, but it definitely has bullying elements, which aren't quite ever resolved appropriately.
Yeah, I wouldn't say bullying, but I would say the unfairness of Donner and Santa towards Rudolph was not demonized, not nearly enough as that kind of behavior is in today.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, it was almost like a fact of life kind of thing. It was like, Rudolph was different, so he got picked on.
Well, and that's, you know? In the song, that's what it's all about. Like, it's just very straightforward. Like, hey, he looks kind of weird. People made fun of him. And so they had to include those elements somehow.
Well, that one reindeer, Olive, like, what a jerk. He used to laugh and call him names. Olive, the other reindeer. Yes. You know, they did it. You know, they did an animated movie called Olive, the other reindeer.
And wasn't a Drew Barrymore the voice?
What?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's Olive the other. It's a she's a deer named Olive, and she hears the song and is like, hey, my name's Olive. I'm in the song, so I'm destined to be one of the reindeer. And so she like goes on this journey to find the North Pole. I don't know.
Get it?
I don't know what happens in
the
end.
Olive the other reindeer.
Reindeer.
Get it?
So yeah, that was kind of weird. But anyway, yeah, so it is based on the song. So, you know, I just think the whole thing's funny. How much of a jerk Rudolph's own father is to him.
This whole conversation has really changed the way I look at this movie.
Oh, we don't want to ruin it for anyone. I mean, I will always love this film no matter what.
I know, right?
I hope our listeners feel the same way. But, like, I don't know. We're just kind of laughing about how, like, kind of goofy these things are, you know? Because it is old-fashioned. It's from back in the day, you know?
It's a classic.
It is.
Classic.
Okay, so we asked a question on Twitter to our listeners, asking them for their favorite quote from the movie. And here are the responses. Mason, do you want to click them and do them in your voices?
Oh, you think I can just do my voices?
Yes, I do. On call.
Summoned like some mongrel pup.
Dance, monkey, dance.
That was Davy Jones from Pirates 3. Anyway. Okay, so recording our Christmas episode on Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer. What is your favorite quote? Blake Taylor, a Rotoscopers classic, says, the taskmaster, the boss elf, you know, he's like, oh, now you learn to go hee-hee and ho-ho and important stuff like that. A dentist, good grief. Aaron, their quote is from Yukon Cornelius. How do you like that? Even among misfits, you're misfits. And then Jordan M, another Yukon. You see, Yukon Cornelius has the best quotes. It says, observe the Bumble's one weakness. The Bumble sinks. Ha ha. You know, when Abominable Snowman tries to get in the icy water, you know,
mm-hmm. And he sinks after down them. To the bottom. I love the effect of that.
Take off those iron boots, buddy.
I love the effect of how they do water in stop motion films. I think sometimes it looks really realistic. Other times, as in this, it really doesn't look much of anything at all, but it's still fun.
It looks kind of like a saline, like, finish. Like, I don't know, some type of
like a piece of saran wrap.
A little, yeah. It really does look like that, and it doesn't bother me at all. Like we were talking about before, there's so much nostalgia to this that you don't care what it looks like.
Yeah, totally.
You don't care what the people are saying. You don't care about the fact that everybody's a jerk. It's just how it is. And you like it for whatever reason. As we were just talking about before, it's just so classic.
Yeah, yeah. And there are some really cool technical stuff about this. You know how when we saw like the making of stuff for the Leica, for Box Trolls, and then for like other Leica stuff, and the models are actually like pretty tall?
Yeah.
Young Rudolph was only 4 inches tall, so like about the size of your hand. And wow. Santa was like a good 8 inches tall. And then each of the puppets back in 64, they originally cost about $5,000 each, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah. That's intense.
Yeah. But yeah, so a little technical stuff. I really love Yukon Cornelius. And then going back to the water, I think it's interesting to watch how studios make stop motion water. Mm-hmm. I would just use water. I'm just kidding. Why not just use real water? But yeah.
Okay, so what do you guys rate this movie?
Oh, I give it 4.5 stars. It's one of my favorites of all time.
I give it 4 stars. I mean, it's one of those things that you almost can't rate it because it's so much nostalgia. Yeah, it's still really good. I like it. I give it 4 stars.
I'm going to give it 4.5 stars. I think this is one of the best Christmas specials out there. It's very classic and definitely memorable. The characters in the stop motion, I think, are absolutely charming. And I love them, and I'm giving it 4.5 stars.
We have a special job each year. We don't like to brag. Christmas Eve, we always fill Santa's bag. Santa knows who's good. Do the things you should. And we bet you he won't forget you. We are Santa's elves.
Let's do it.
Mailbag! things? Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so we are going to move into the mailbag segment. The first one is from Steve. It says, hey, Rotoscopers, first off, I love your podcast. Your discussions are very informative and very enjoyable to listen to. I was wondering if any of you guys have seen the 1997 WB film Cats Don't Dance, a completely underrated animated film. It's a wonderful movie with hilarious characters. The animation is fantastic. The story is silly, and the songs are superb. If you guys haven't seen it, you must. It's a must-see. I think you guys should cover this movie in one of your podcasts. Personally, for me, the movie is one of my childhood favorites. As a male reaching his 30s, I always end up rewatching this movie along with the other classic Disney, Pixar, WB, and Don Bluth films. Keep the podcast coming. I always anxiously wait for the next episode. Regards, Steven loves animation. P.S. At some point, we should start picketing the Disney Animation Studios for them to release the long overdue Mickey Mouse film. We can all wear Mickey ears to show that we mean business. Awesome. Thanks, Steve. You know, I've heard of Cats Don't Dance, but I've never heard such high praise of it. And I'm actually really interested to watch this movie now based on this, like how passionate he is about it. You know what I mean?
I have not heard a single thing about it, but I want to watch it.
Oh, nice. Our next door neighbor, she like gave us all her toys because I have nieces and nephews who come over and she doesn't anymore. And Cats Don't Dance was one of the toys and movies that she gave us. So I have access to it. So I'll definitely report back.
Yes, please do.
Yeah, we'll have to check it out.
Hi, guys. I'm a student from Germany, and I just wanted to let you know that I love your podcast and everything else you're doing. I basically spent the last days listening to Nerdy Couch discussions and movie reviews. You're making up for the friend that I never had who loves animation as much as I do. So keep up the great work. Here's a link to the blog of Andreas Deja. He's animated Scar, Lilo, Jafar, and many other Disney characters, which he talks about rotoscoping. I thought it was really interesting and instantly had to think of you. Best wishes, Suzanne. Thank you, Suzanne. We love Andreas Deja. And that blog is really fantastic.
Yeah, I love that blog because he, when he worked at Disney, had access to the vault and a lot of the archives, the Disney archives, where he could go down and look at the original cells and different character designs and whatnot. And so he would take them and he would scan them and he'd post them to his blog. So his blog is really a treasure trove of information, especially since he knew and worked under some of the great Disney legends. He shares stories about their insights into creating certain characters and questions that he asks. So definitely check out his blog because if you're an animation fan and you love anything behind the scenes about the making of these characters and films, this is definitely somewhere you want to bookmark.
All right. This one is from Mandy. She says, hello, Rotoscopers. First of all, I discovered you around Halloween and have been binge listening to all the podcasts while packing and moving into a new house. Binge listening. Who would have thought our podcast? So thank you for the company. It is much appreciated. Well, we appreciate your support. Just had a funny story about two movies you haven't reviewed yet and wondered if you had any opinions. Once upon a time, I bought Cats Don't Dance to show my sister-in-law what a fantastic film it is. Well, again, Cats Don't Dance. The only DVD available to purchase, however, was a double feature with Quest for Camelot, which I had never seen. Since it was packed with the obviously wonderful Cats Don't Dance, I assumed it would also be a quality film and decided, what the heck, to watch that with her first. I absolutely lost all movie cred at that point. OMG, I still can't believe what a terrible film that was.
It did have a really good song, though.
Please, let me finish. Yeah. It was made even more awkward when they burst out into The Prayer, which, as voice majors, we were very familiar with and startled to hear. She still refuses to watch Cats Don't Dance because she thinks it will also be that bad, you know, because it was in the box set. Mandy asks, have any of you seen either of these and what's your take on them? Love the show. Smiley face. Feels like we were friends already somehow. Oh.
Aww.
Well, first of all, Mandy, thank you for your support and for listening. And that is an absolutely hilarious story about the box set and how the curse of Quest for Camelot and how Cats Don't Dance was like just as bad as Quest for Camelot by association, you know.
You know, awesome.
Geographical association. That's pretty funny. I haven't seen Quest for Camelot. I probably did when I was like a little kid, but I don't remember it. Cats Don't Dance, like everyone's mentioning it in their mail. We're gonna have to watch it.
I'm totally up for doing that first movie of 2014.
Okay.
I'm like really right. intrigued with this movie because everyone is, I mean, when you look at the cover of this movie, you think, no, this is made in the 90s by a studio I don't know.
I don't know
dancing
that
cat.
Studio.
So, yeah, I think this is going to happen, guys.
Start the year off with a meow.
Hi, Rotoscopers. Even though the movie Saving Mr. Banks, which is about the untold story of how Mary Poppins became a movie, isn't animated, I think you guys should talk about it. I just saw the trailer, and I think Tom Hanks will do a really good job portraying Walt Disney, especially with the way Disney really cared about each of the projects he took on during his lifetime. Watch the trailer to see what I mean. On a different note, I think the other films you should discuss are Sleeping Beauty, maybe Sword in the Stone, and perhaps Monsters, Inc., or one of the Rescuers movies. You guys do a great job on being professional, podcast hosts, as well as comical. Thanks, Zach. So we talked a little bit about Saving Mr. Banks in our other episode, our Mary Poppins episode. So you can find our mini discussion about this is, well, this is before Saving Mr. Banks came out. We talk about it, but that's rotoscopers.com/54. I actually have seen Saving Mr. Banks. By the time this episode comes out, Saving Mr. Banks will be released nationwide in U.S. theaters. So I feel okay talking about it, but I loved Saving Mr. Banks. I thought it was one of the best movies that I've seen all year, whether live action or not. It's just such a fantastic movie. It does a great job balancing very serious, heavy elements of the plot with more comical, funny. Really does a great job with both of that. You really begin to care for P.L. Travers as we get to see uncover the layers of her and her story. So definitely Mary Poppins fans and Disney fans need to check it out because it is a beautiful film.
Cool. Let's see. Can I do this one by David Raymore?
Sure.
He says, comment, I just listened to your recent podcast on the movie review of The Incredibles, and I need to point out an error. Oh, I love these. One of the rotoscopers said that this movie is not available on Blu-ray. This is incorrect, since the Blu-ray was released in 2011, and I purchased one. Prove it, David. I'm just kidding. I thought you need to know... and let the listeners know that they can purchase this Blu-ray on Amazon.com or other retailers. Hey, I've got an idea, David. Why not through our Amazon.com affiliate link? Okay. Then we all win. Try to be a team player here. I'm just kidding.
You're on like a very antagonistic first, edge okay. today.
Well, no, I love it when listeners point out errors because it means that they care about animation as much as we do, and it helps everyone. So I like it. I'm glad that our listeners are as passionate as we are. He continues by saying, I did enjoy listening to your review because I really like this movie. My favorite character in this movie is Edna Mode. Very, very good taste. My least favorite character is Buddy / Syndrome. Poor taste, David. What's up with that? I found him to be annoying and irritating. At least he died in the end. Very good point. David continues by saying, I wish Brad Bird would reconsider in making a sequel. Maybe in a few years he can direct and write a fantastic script with another great story about these wonderful characters. I totally agree, David. Keep up the great work, and I look forward to your next review of animated films. Sincerely, David Raymore from Seattle. I totally agree. There needs to be a sequel.
Yes. Sequel.
And thanks for pointing out that we can get The Incredibles on Blu-ray.
I don't know why I said that, because you can buy all the Pixar films on Blu-ray. I don't know why I was thinking that Incredibles, the best movie ever, was the sole one.
Yeah, well, there was that time when we got Ned Beatty's name wrong, and I think I still got it wrong just now. Gosh, I don't even know. But anyway, David, thank you for your awesome mail. And thanks for pointing out our mistakes so we can improve and always make this show the best that it can be.
All right. Melissa K, age 14, says, okay, so I remember way back when, during the Anastasia episode, you guys mentioned the hate mail you guys got regarding the name the Rotoscopers. Oh, yes, we remember that. It is still part of our internal canon of inside jokes.
Yeah. do the Rotoscopers forgive? Yes. But do they forget? No, because it's just hilarious, some of these things.
Oh, and why it is dumb and how rotoscoping is a terrible way of animation, but people fail to realize that Peter Pan, a beloved animated movie, was made by rotoscope. So was Sleeping Beauty, Alice in Wonderland, as was Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, the first full-length animated movie. Just felt like sharing some things I found through the researching of entertainment. Hope you are well, Melissa K.
Oh, Melissa, thanks for defending us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We never thought rotoscoping was dumb, but... We're glad someone else feels the same way.
Here, here's two little short ones we can read.
Here's a quickie from Whitney Grace. She says, "Hi, Rotoscopers. How do you guys feel about the Muppets?" Well, I have said on almost every episode how much I love the Muppets. I don't know if she's asking if we like them or if we consider them animation. I don't know. I would love for like puppet motion and suit motion to be considered animation, just so I could review Godzilla. But I think the Muppets are animated characters enough to be considered animation. But whether you consider them animation or not, I love them. Like, the Muppets are amazing.
They're pretty cartoony, so that's kind of how I clump them in.
Like, there aren't that many like entertainment phenomena that are as positive as the Muppets. The whole mm-hmm. message of the Muppets is like, hey, we're kind of a bunch of freaks, but we all kind of make it together.
Yeah.
And we enjoy life. And you can toss around a lot of weird conspiracy theories about that. They're, you know, about political stuff or whatever. But to me, the Muppets are just the Muppets, and they're awesome and they're fun. And just the fact that Jim Henson created a cast of characters that is so diverse and so quirky, but yet so like consistent with their personalities. That's like a stroke of genius. I don't think anyone can ever top Kermit the Frog as just like a super lovable frog. I don't know. I'm super excited. I didn't see. I think Lady Gaga is hosting a Christmas special with the Muppets.
Thanksgiving.
Sorry, that means I missed it.
Me too.
But I'm. Oh, I'm surprised with you, Morgan.
I know.
But I'm super excited for Muppets Most Wanted. I think the premise is really funny. I think Tina Fey is going to be in it, and some other people. And I really loved the recent Muppet movie. Like, I was way into it. I thought it was awesome.
I never saw it. I really need to. I'm embarrassed.
Oh, you really? You haven't seen it?
I'm embarrassed.
Oh my gosh,
it's
awesome.
Seen it. I know.
You gotta watch it. It was really something. It has a ton of stars in it, and it's really funny. It plays just like the old Muppet movies.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's how I feel about the Muppets, Whitney. I don't know about you guys, Chelsea, Morgan.
No, everything you just said. I think they're a special case whether they should be considered animation. Obviously, they're not animation in the traditional sense, but it is a way, like Mason has mentioned in prior discussions, of recreating life without actually doing it being a human. I guess you're using an inanimate object to create this illusion of life. So I think it's a honorable mention for animation. And so don't be surprised if you see some Muppet interviews on our upcoming and new interview podcast. Speaking of, that was Whitney Grace, and she is going to be one of the new hosts who's going to be doing interviews for this interview-only podcast. It's going to be called Animation Interviews. Very simple, very easy, so you can just Google it and you'll find it. You can go to animationinterviews.com, and it will take you to just basically it'll take you to our page, but like a dedicated page for those interviews. And it's going to be great. And I know she does have a few Muppet things lined up. So if you're a Muppets fan, get ready because it's going to be fun. Hey, Rotoscopers, thinking about this little Twitter session with Clay makes me want to hear an interview of him by you guys. So let me break. We were discussing back and forth about Clay Cadis, who recently had left Disney Animation Studios, and that was kind of a big deal. And so I'll read the rest of her email and then I'll talk. He's entering into some super secret animation project, and maybe you can talk to him about this and his career at Disney. He has some great takes on animation in general. I would love it. Thank you for your show, and please keep it up. Jessica Worski. Okay, so Jessica is a writer for Animation Fascination, and she writes some really fantastic articles over there. But since she sent this email, we have some news. Clay Cadis is actually going to be directing the Angry Birds movie with Fergal Riley. So
Angry Birds!
Super big deal. And I'm really, yeah. really excited Ooh. For him because he's been working at Walt Disney Animation Studios since I think Pocahontas was the first thing that he was on, and he definitely climbed the ranks. He's the one who created the famous animation, the original animation podcast where it was interviews with animation greats. So it would definitely be like flipping things on its head for us to interview him. And I would love that. So we'll definitely try and reach out and maybe get to talk to him about his career and maybe give us a little snippet about Angry Birds.
My only question is, how angry are the birds actually going to be in this film?
Oh, more angry than we've ever seen a bird.
Angrier, birdier, angry birds. I'm just kidding. If Fergal Riley is involved in this film, then it's probably going to be pretty well done. But yeah, cool.
All right, this came out a couple months ago. So this is from Juliana. Hey, Rotoscopers. Love everything you guys do. I can't wait for your Frozen Review podcast. By the way, that's already out. Yay! That was 2 hours of Frozen goodness. I was listening to your Incredibles podcast and had a thought. Would love to hear what you guys think. What happened to all the supervillains? Bon Voyage, for example. Did they continue to cause mayhem, or did they just give up and retire because they were bored the supers weren't around to give them a challenge? Thanks. Have a great Frozember. Julianne. P.S. I'm Team Elsa too, Morgan.
Excellent.
I actually brought this up in that episode.
You did?
I did.
And Mason we made a joke about it.
Mason had a great comeback.
What'd he say?
Oh, I just made the comment that, yeah, that makes perfect sense. You know, you outlaw the things that are supposed to protect us, and now bad guys just magically disappear. I think that's ludicrous. that's like one of the big mysteries, like why there are no supervillains in The Incredibles besides Syndrome. Like, was it like a time of peace? Was the military keeping the villains away? I do not buy into the theory that once they outlawed supers that bad guys just went back into their holes and were good from now on. Maybe it was this weird thing, like kind of the Joker Batman thing, where it's like they feel like they can't exist without the other, you know, some weird psychological dependence. I don't know.
Yeah. And this very last one we're going to do today is from Chad Richardson. He says, hey, Morgan and Chelsea and Mason, I saw your videos on YouTube, and I have to say, I am surprised to see that you are into animation with a passion like I do. Keep it up. Hope you respond. This is us responding. Thanks, Chad.
Thank you, Chad.
Muchas gracias.
Obrigada.
So, guys, thanks for listening to this episode of the Animation Addicts Podcast, your favorite place to hear the best animation reviews of films from the past and present. It was a good time we had with good old Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and gang, including degrading Santa and Rudolph's dad.
Okay. Just a disclaimer here. Like, I have strong opinions. We all have strong opinions on the show. But we never want to be criticizers. We always want to be reviewers and fans, you know. So don't take us seriously if we're, like, being kind of unfair on certain characters.
Today was just one of those fun days.
Yes, definitely.
We have a lot of fun on the show, and that's pretty much it.
So our next episode is actually going to be our best of 2013 episode. So in 2 weeks, you have about...
Ooh, I can't wait.
I know, it's going to be the best. So if there's a certain episode that you listen to on repeat and you have favorite moments, favorite lines, send them in. Go to rotoscopers.com/voicemail and you can send us a voicemail where we will play your favorite clip on the show. You can also send us an email at therotoscopers@gmail.com. Send them in. We've gotten a lot of really good submissions and they've reminded us of fun moments that we've forgotten ourselves. Also, on that episode, we're going to announce the winners of the Rotoscopers Awards, our very first annual. These are animation awards voted by you, the Rotoscopers community. You guys get to pick what you think the best animated films, characters, lines, quotes, articles, podcasts were of 2013. So definitely make sure to vote. Go to rotoscopers.com/awards2013. And you can vote until basically the end of December. I will close it on December 30th. So make sure to vote before then and send in your voicemail submissions before December 30th. Of course, you can find us on rotoscopers.com. You can find us. That's where you can find our Twitter, Facebook, news articles, Tumblr, everything and everything is there.
And as far as social media goes, you can catch us all on Twitter. You can find the lovely Chelsea Robson. At Chelsea Robson on Twitter, Morgan Stradling at Morgan Stradling. Myself, my Twitter handle is at Mason SMTX. Just think San Marcos, Texas. And you got it. We have a lot of fun interacting with our fans and our writers and also industry pros on Twitter. And so you can get in on all the tweeting action, I guess. We have our Facebook page. Rotoscopers.com is your awesome go-to source for animation articles, opinions, and comments, and reviews. And don't forget, our YouTube channel is always hopping, yo. And we have a lot of fun on that, too.
Woohoo! I love YouTube!
Yahoo!
isn't it great being YouTube stars? I mean, YouTube more than me, but
far from stars.
Yeah, right.
What, we got 1,000? What, don't we have 1,000 subscribers?
We are only 3,
nearly 3.
That's, oh my gosh, people, watch out, Smosh, we're coming for you. But
oh,
who is that kid, Tyler Oakley? You're going down. But anyway, we love doing what we do, and we love our fans. So thank you so much for all your support and for listening to us, of course.
So until next time, we are the Rotoscopers.
Let me finish.
There will be some great bloopers, trust me.
That time Morgan snapped at Mason.
I didn't mean it in a mean way.
I know you didn't. I know you didn't.
Sometimes
I just think
it happens.
I have to
actually watch He-Man now.
You should be excited. I thought you were a fan.
I am, but I'm like, I have to.
Jesus, time. Poser.
Oh, it's like 30 minutes. I had it on the old VHS.
I actually had this on DVD, and it had to go with it a documentary making of, as well as my favorite of all, Rudolph R&B Remix from the 90s.
No.
With Destiny's Child stop motion music video. Oh, awesome.
Yikes.
I just remember the Claymation Christmas special with the California Raisins.
Uh-huh.
Who sang this song? Did you ever see that?
Yes.
It had that, and it had, like, Carol of the Bells. It was all Claymation. I forgot what it's called.
I think it's just called Claymation Christmas Celebration, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Why don't you believe in Christmas, Chelsea?
Okay, I'm going to cut that.
You know, 20 years from now, when we're still doing this podcast, I'm going to be like Uncle Cy from Duck Dynasty. I'm just going to be, like, totally demented. The rescuers went and got Mulan out of there, and Mason, shut up. Why are you even on the show anymore?
Good stuff.